We're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam translation and purports by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Fourth canto, 29th chapter. This is one of the texts added by Vijayadvaj Tirtha to the end of this chapter 29. Text 2b, is that correct? 1b. Bhakti.
Bhakti.
Krishne.
Krishne.
Daya.
Daya.
Jiveshu.
Jiveshu.
Akunt
Jnana.
Syat, Atmanah, Bhuyat, Apavarga, Su, Samsrite,
Bhakti Krishne Daya Jiveshu,
Bhakti Krishne Daya Jiveshu, Akunta Jnanam Atmani.
Akunta
Jnanam Atmani.
Yadi
Syat Atmano Bhuyat.
Yadi
Syat Atmano
Bhuyat.
Apa Vargas Tu Samsrite. Apavargas tu samsrite.
Bhakti Krishne Daya
Jiveshu.
Akunta
Jnanam
Atmani.
Yadi Syat Atmano
Bhuyat.
Apavargas tu samsrite. Bhakti Krishne Daya
Jiveshu.
Akunta Jnanam Atmani. Yadi Syat Atmano
Bhuyat.
Apavargastu Samsrite.
Bhakti Krishne Daya
Jiveshu. Akunta Jnanam Atmani.
Yadi Syat Atmano Bhuyat.
Apavargastu Samsrite. Devotional service.
Krishne
unto Krishna.
Daya.
Mercy.
Jiveshu
unto other living entities.
Akunta
Jnana.
Perfect knowledge.
Atmani.
Of the self.
Yadi.
If.
Syat.
It becomes.
Atmanah.
Of oneself.
Bhuyat.
There must be.
Apavarga.
Liberation.
To.
Then.
Samsrite.
From the bondage of material life.
From the bondage of material life.
Translation by Srila Prabhupada.
If a living entity is developed in Krishna consciousness and is merciful to others, and if his spiritual knowledge of self-realization is perfect,
he will immediately attain liberation from the bondage of material existence, responsibly. If a living entity is developed in Krishna consciousness and is merciful to others,
and if his spiritual knowledge
of self-realization
is perfect,
he will immediately attain liberation
from the bondage of material existence.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In this verse, the words Daya Jiveshu, meaning mercy to other living entities, indicate that a living entity must be merciful to other living entities if he wishes to make progress in self-realization. This means he must preach this knowledge after perfecting himself and understanding his own position as an eternal servant of Krishna. Preaching this is showing real mercy to living entities. Other types of humanitarian work may be temporarily beneficial for the body, but because a living entity is spirit soul, ultimately one can show him real mercy only by revealing knowledge of his spiritual existence. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Jivera Swarupa Hai Krishnera Nityadas. Every living entity is constitutionally a servant of Krishna. One should know this fact perfectly and should preach it to the mass of people. If one realizes that he is an eternal servant of Krishna but does not preach it, his realization is imperfect. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur therefore sings, Dushtamana Tumi Kishera Vaishnava Pratishtara Tare Narajaneira Gare Tavahari Nama Kevala Kaitava. My dear mind, what kind of Vaishnava are you? Simply for false prestige and immaterial reputation, you are chanting the Hare Krishna mantra in a solitary place. In this way, people who do not preach are criticized. There are many Vaishnavas in Vrindavan who do not like preaching. They chiefly try to imitate Haridas Thakur. The actual result of their so-called chanting in a secluded place, however, is that they sleep and think of women and money. Similarly, one who simply engages in temple worship but does not see to the interests of the mass of people cannot recognize devotees is called a Kanishta Adhikari. Archayam eva haraye puchamya shradaye hate tat bhakti shuchanyeshu sabhakta prakrita smita om agyanat mirandasya gana Salakaya Chaksuru Militam Jena Tasmai Shangha Sri Chaitanya Mahavishnam Stapitam Jena Mujre Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dhanati Svabhadika. So Prabhupada chose to include and comment on this verse, was added to another verse which is expounded by Maitreya, saying that devotees should understand that Krishna is the annihilator and maintainer of the cosmic manifestation, that he's the shelter of the cosmic manifestation, that one should engage in devotional service. This verse talks about three other things. A living entity should be developed in Krishna consciousness, he should be merciful to others, and he should perfect his spiritual knowledge in order to attain liberation. So of these three things, Prabhupada chose to comment in his purport on the fact of mercy, or daya, that one should be merciful to other living entities. Obviously, he thought it was important enough to
to devote his whole purport to it. There are many instances in our scriptures about how important mercy is. The last part of the purport is a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, 2nd chapter, 47th verse, in which it is described that one can worship the deity in a very favorable way, in a very devoted way, and yet still not have the proper attitude towards devotees and to non-devotees. And it is said there that one who acts in such a way, nicely towards the deities but not to others or to devotees, is in the lowest stage of devotion. So there appears to be different levels of devotion. We're all devotees and we're all worshippers of Krishna. But those who are merciful to others are said to be, in a comparative way of speaking, on a higher platform, because they are distributing their mercy, they're not keeping it to themselves. This is the nature of devotees. They are considered very, very good welfare workers because they deal with the most essential problem of the living entity. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was resting in the garden during the Rath Yatra festival, we read in the Majjalila of the Chaitanya Chaitamrita, he was greeted by Maharaj Bhatra Parudra, and he was in a mystic slumber meditating on the glorious lotus feet of Krishna and other transcendental subject matters when the king came in, is described there, not in his royal garments, but in his Vaishnav dress. And he began to very expertly massage the feet of the Lord and recite very beautiful verses. So as he was reciting these verses, the Lord wasn't stirred, but he accepted the fact that he was being massaged by a worldly person, because he had come actually in his Vaishnava dress, that he was coming as a devotee, not as a great king. So as he was massaging the feet of the Lord, he recited this verse, which describes how the pastimes of Radha and Krishna are full of transcendental potency, and they are broadcast all over the world, and they are the shelter and relief for all of those in this material world who are feeling suffering and grief. They bring all good fortune, and because of their spiritual power, those who spread this message are considered to be the greatest welfare workers. So when Lord Chaitanya heard this verse, he came to his external consciousness and stood up and began to dance and embraced the king and said, "I do not know who you are, I do not know who you are. Go on reciting, go on reciting." So he was very enlivened to hear about the mercifulness of the Lord and his devotees and the mercy of his message. Devotees, Prabhupada has requested to not only learn, to become Brahmins and learn the science of Krishna consciousness, patan patan, and to engage in worship, but to teach it to others, patan patan yaja yaja, dana pratigraha. The nature of a Brahmin is to learn and to pass on his learning. So devotees are, by nature, very merciful. They feel the suffering of others as their own sufferings. This puts them on the platform of pleasing Krishna. Krishna says, of course, ya idam paramanguyam bhaktesya vidashati. One who transmits this message to others is very, very dear to me. In Prabhupada's lifetime, he taught this in many different ways. I remember he wrote something out by hand once. Somehow or other, I got this little written piece of paper and framed it. And it hangs in my ashram or my headquarters in California. And
Prabhupada says the mission of the Hare Krishna movement up at the top. And the verse is from the 10th canto, Samashrikaye Padapalavatama Atsanapunyari Shomalare. And he describes it by saying that those who are concerned about the people in this material world due to atheistic influence in the age of Kali, the age of quarrel, will be relieved of their suffering and misery if they take shelter of the Supreme Lord, who is known as Murari. So, Samashritaye Padapalavapavam. Even though the Lord is known, he's famous as the master and the shelter of the whole cosmic manifestation, still we have the opportunity to take shelter of him. We have the opportunity to take shelter of him individually, personally, and thereby get relief from the pangs of this material world. So Prabhupada set the mission statement of the Hare Krishna movement. Now it's popular to talk about mission statements sometimes. This mission was that we should take shelter of Krishna, and that only by taking shelter of Krishna can we get relief. And we can only get relief if we contact a devotee. Devotee can only get relief if he contacts Krishna, and others can only get that mercy or that relief if devotees go out and do this welfare work, take it upon themselves to see others as suffering and try to alleviate their suffering. Lord Kapila also gives many remonstrations against those who only worship the deity in the temple, Kanista Adhikari mentality. In one of his verses in the third canto, he says, Atmaras chaparasya pi yatkaro dhyantarodara tasya vinadrisho mrityo vidadev payam ulvanam. One who makes the least discrimination, he says, between himself and other living entities, for him I come to punish him as the blazing fire of death. One who sees other living entities as different from him due to a differential outlook. So this is a very strong, powerful statement. One should not see others as different from oneself. And many great devotees have followed. Haridas Thakur, sometimes Prabhupada compared to Lord Jesus Christ. He was so merciful that even while he was being tortured, we know the Christian people, they worship an image of Jesus Christ being tortured. They remember it so much. That Haridas Thakur was so merciful that even when he was being beaten and beaten and beaten, he accepted the beating. He even played dead so that his captors and his tormentors could be relieved from being punished by their harsh taskmaster. So this is mercy. And it is these kinds of mercy which inspire devotees to become merciful, to understand what mercy really means. Prabhupada himself was our great inspiration. His mercy was instructional for us because it appeared to be without any bounds. We could cite many instances of how merciful he was. His whole life, for example, was amazing mercy that he worked up until the very last moments, preaching. Sometimes he is quoted as saying, I want to die with my boots on, like Arjuna. I don't want to give up and go away and relax somewhere. Once he was preparing to go to Moscow, and the devotees were, he was a little sick, saying, Prabhupada, this time of year, it's very, very cold there, and I think it's better that you should come to Hawaii, because it's very nice, the weather's warm, and the mangoes are very, very sweet this time of year. So Prabhupada immediately retorted, preaching in the snows of Moscow is sweeter than the sweetest mango. Because he didn't go that winter, but he went soon after. When Prabhupada was preaching to the hippies, who was very, very merciful, not appreciated often, there were two boys named Jay and Ron who ran a shop. In 1966, in the Haight-Ashbury era, they called it the psychedelic shop. And they did a lot of service. They carried pictures of Krishna that we sold them. They did. They organized programs and so on. So one day they had invited Prabhupada to come there. This was a kind of shop that people, it was head shops where lots of people came and smoked all different kinds of things. And they had a meditation room. So they wanted Prabhupada to come and bless the meditation room. They wanted him to come and give a talk there, a little kirtan. So he went. And as we were walking with Prabhupada down Hate Street, we felt a little embarrassed because people were selling pipes on the streets, selling leather moccasins, all kinds of intoxication. And the air was filled with the smell of marijuana. And people were drinking and carrying on in all sorts of obvious illicit manners. It was a very warm night, and as we walked with Prabhupada, we felt so embarrassed and really no one knew what to say. Finally somebody ventured, "Prabhupada, it's a beautiful night, isn't it?" The weather was nice, it was warm. So Prabhupada didn't make any expression. He just looked almost somber. Almost, we thought, disgusted, as he was looking down at the people sitting on the sidewalk making little drawings, boys and girls hugging each other. He was looking around, one thing. Pretty much just without any expression. So we were getting very worried. And finally Prabhupada looked over at us and he said, "Everything is beautiful. Everything is beautiful." Then we went into this shop. Their meditation room consisted of four what they called madras bedspreads. They were imported from India in this madras style prints. They were hanging on wires that stretched from wall to wall, and they formed the four walls of this meditation room. It's about 10 feet square. So the two brothers who owned the shop welcomed Prabhupada very warmly, escorted him in, asked him to sit down. This room was so filled with smoke that you could barely see from one end to the other. Just a matter of 10 feet, and several people were lying there on their backs in a different kind of slumber after smoking. Prabhupada sat down, didn't say a word, and led a kirtan and gave a very, very wonderful class, and was very happy, very jolly throughout the whole class, even though half of the guests there were completely unconscious. Prabhupada went on and distributed his mercy very magnanimously. And he was very cheerful when he got up and walked out. He very graciously shook hands with the two brothers and went back to the temple. So Prabhupada was carrying on also in the mode of his predecessors, like his spiritual master, who underwent so many austerities to be merciful. Sometimes he was consulting with government men. We saw a picture of him riding in a very big convertible car, big black Stutz or something like that car one time. And the Goswamis also were a great inspiration. We know they came here to Vrindavan. They worked their whole lives. They were circumambulating Govardhan Hill. They were excavating all these buried sites of the great temples. They were giving up everything for the welfare of others. Chakvatorama Sesha Madhavati Shrinidhati Chivat Chakvatina Ganeshiko Karunaya Hopina Tantasrito. They were wandering about in loincloths, giving up their great positions of zamindirs, great scholars working for the, like Sanatana, working for the magistrate, the Kazi. Why were they doing this? They were doing this because they were feeling compassion. They were Paraduka Dukha. They were Karunika. They were feeling the miseries of others as their own. So they gave up these great positions so they could enter into that role of being merciful to others, being very kind, taking on the role of a mendicant. Lord Chaitanya also did this out of his mercy. When he was being criticized and his position was being compromised, he immediately took up the role of sannyas. So therefore he is Mahabharanyaya. He is considered by Rupa Goswami as the most munificent of all persons, Bharanyaya, more than any other avatar. And of course he extended the mercy of Krishna. Krishna is also very merciful, but Lord Chaitanya extended that mercy. Krishna's mercy is mentioned by Rupa Goswami in the Nectar of Devotion. His mercy is described as the mercy he gave towards Indra. Indra was not being very kind to the residents of Vrindavan. So Krishna wasn't very pleased with him. He could have immediately destroyed his whole kingdom, taken it over, destroyed Indra himself. But instead he chose to shelter all the inhabitants of Vrindavan, to be merciful to them and also to Indra. And in this way he accomplished many other purposes. He endeared himself even further to the residents of Vrindavan. So Lord Chaitanya extended this mercy and inspired everyone to try to get more mercy, to try to get more mercy from Radharani. His internal reason for appearing was to taste the nectar of Radharani and even to get her mercy. So there's a great competition for this mercy, just as we see now. So many thousands, tens of thousands, I suppose millions of pilgrims are coming here to Vrindavan to get this mercy of Radharani. Radharani is so merciful that she is also even sometimes trying to get the mercy of devotees. Many of you probably remember the story that Prabhupada narrated. When Rupa Goswami was preparing an offering, he wanted to prepare an offering to Sanatana Goswami, his guru. But he couldn't find the ingredients, living in the forest of Vrindavan. Then a young girl appeared, said that her mother had been conducting a religious ceremony and wanted to bring some bhoga to the sadhus. So she was distributing bhoga to the sadhus, and she brought some very nice vegetables, yogurt, milk, fruit, nice preparations. So he made this nice preparation, made an offering, very opulent. And when Sanatana Goswami came, he was very pleased to see such a nice offering. But then he asked him, he said, where did you get all these nice opulent vegetables here in this forest? So then he told him this, narrated what happened. And he said, well, who was this young girl? Who was this? So he described her in more detail, very young, beautiful, wanting to serve. Then he saw that is Radharani. And Prabhupada says he rebuked him. He said, we're trying to serve Radharani, and you're taking service from Radharani. And then Prabhupada went on to describe how there's always a competition between Krishna, his servants, or Radharani, and the devotees. Because as the devotees are trying to get Radharani's mercy, Radharani is also trying to serve the devotees. This is the unique and wonderful position of devotional service. The devotee tries to serve Krishna, and Krishna tries to serve the devotees. So Prabhupada writes in the first canto, on the verse, Savai Pungso Parodharmo, that the relationship between the servitor and the served is the most congenial form of intimacy. There's nothing more intimate, more satisfying, more happy, more blissful than to serve the devotees or to distribute the mercy of the devotees to others. Therefore, devotees are said to be kalpavrikshas, or desire trees. So from the spiritual master, we get great mercy. We sing every day, that is, by the mercy of the spiritual master, Guru Prasade, Maya Bhakti Lakhavish. What is it, the second verse? Guru Charana Padma Kevala Bhakti Sar. By the mercy of Krishna, By the mercy of the spiritual master, one crosses over the ocean of material suffering and gets the mercy of Krishna. So the spiritual master is always inspiring us to remember Krishna and his predecessors and to get the mercy of Krishna and to get the mercy of Radharani. So I'm sorry, I'm running into our breakfast time here. I guess we'll have time for maybe one short question. I'll read the verse again. Bhakti Krishna Dayati Veshu Akunta Gyanam Atmani Yadi Syad Atmano Kruya Papavar Gastak Samshite. If a living entity is developed in Krishna consciousness and is merciful to others, and if his spiritual knowledge of self-realization is perfect, he will immediately attain liberation from the bondage of material existence. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.